When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition.'" He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Immaculate Mother of the Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we hear of the fundamental lesson of purity of heart as really the key to being true to God and to being true disciples of Jesus Christ. In the first reading, we heard the teaching of Moses to the people, telling them that in their observance, they must not add to or take away from the commandments of God, but observe them strictly. And in the gospel, we hear our Lord speak in very strong terms to the Pharisees and scribes, condemning their hypocrisy for giving an equal value to human traditions, things that have been made up by man, and at the same time neglecting the law of God. In conversation among serious Christians in our day, it's often remarked that the situation in the world is so bad that it's beyond human ability, it's beyond human imagination to think that we can somehow effect a change to restore sanity to the culture that is so just out of control. And we believe that it takes now an act of God. And of course, that seems perfectly reasonable, and I don't disagree. However, listening to the words of our Lord and taking a lesson here from the gospel, perhaps there's more yet that we can do. In today's second reading, or excuse me, the first reading from the Office of Readings, taken from the prophet Jeremiah, we heard these words. How long must the earth mourn, the green of the whole countryside wither? For the wickedness of those who dwell in it, beasts and birds disappear, because they say, God does not see our ways. It's always interesting to notice how the Word of God in Holy Scripture seems to be true always. Even these words from Jeremiah, which were written down, first spoken more than 2,000 years ago, maybe 2,500 years ago, and yet they're as true today as they were then. And I think the beauty, one of the most beautiful aspects of being a person of God, a person of faith, is to see how in our daily lives, the words of God illumine the truth of our present-day reality and also guide us in how we should live. These words that I just cited resonate and call to mind a film that we just viewed, The Friars. It's not a film, really. It's a documentary. And it's about bees and the production of honey. It's called More Than Honey. And in this documentary, the documentary maker sets out to try to answer a question. Among those who care for bees and produce honey, it's been noted that bees are dying out. And this is a fact that has far greater consequences than you might think, because bees are necessary for the production of fruit. Bees pollinate the trees that produce fruit, and so if the bees go, it will have an enormous impact on human life. We eat fruit every day. It's one of the required, recommended food groups that we should eat from every day. So this documentary is very apropos, not only from the point of view of scientific interest or biology, but for the spiritual truth that it reflects. What we heard from Jeremiah, for the wickedness of those who dwell on the earth and the countryside, beasts and birds disappear, because they say God does not see our ways. And in this documentary, various beekeepers are interviewed, and one of them, an American prominent honey producer, very honestly and straightforwardly speaks about the driving spirit, you could say, the driving ideology of capitalism. He says there's two things that govern. It's greed and fear. And at another point in the documentary, the filmmakers go to China. And in China, it's absurd, but because the pollution has gotten so bad, because of the disregard for the environment and proper balance and taking care of God's creation, and through greed, industry has so polluted the earth that there are no bees. And so what is normally the work of hundreds of colonies of bees, each of which are composed of 50,000 little insects to pollinate the trees and produce the fruit, they have scores and scores of human beings going around and powdering pollen on the flowers of the trees to produce fruit. And it's such a sad illustration of both the evil of unbridled capitalism and just this greedy and inconsiderate desire to make as much money as possible regardless of the consequences, and also the evil of communism, where people are reduced to basically doing the work of insects. It was unbelievable. So these words ring true. How long must the earth mourn, the green of the whole countryside wither, for the wickedness of those who dwell in it? Beasts and birds disappear, because they say God does not see our ways. And of course, we know that's not true. God sees into the hearts of men, and that's where evil comes from. As our Lord states, it's not the food that we eat, but it's the disordered desires that we conserve in our heart that produce these evil effects in the world around us. Pope Francis has recently written a somewhat controversial encyclical on the environment, and while the science on which he bases his reason is disputed, nonetheless, he is fulfilling his role as supreme pastor in the attempt to apply moral principles to the world around us. And one of the, a quote, not from his encyclical Laudato Si, but from another encyclical, Caritas in Veritate, Pope Benedict's encyclical, this idea of applying those Christian moral principles is to the environment as well, is given perhaps a more incisive application. So many of us here in this community are involved, as are Catholics the world over, involved in the struggle to uphold a culture of life against the practice of abortion, contraception, divorce, all these man-made or human traditions that are destroying the world and humanity. And Pope Benedict said the following regarding these Christian moral principles that have to be applied to our real life. Since everything is interrelated, concern for the protection of nature is also incompatible with the justification of abortion. How can we genuinely teach the importance of concern for other vulnerable beings, however troublesome or inconvenient they may be, if we fail to protect a human embryo, even when its presence is uncomfortable and creates difficulties? If personal and social sensitivity towards the acceptance of the new life is lost, then other forms of acceptance that are valuable for society also wither away. What comes out of the heart is what contaminates man, according to our Lord Jesus Christ. The contraceptive pill might at first thought seem to be something that's taken into the body that doesn't contaminate. However, the pill is not a natural thing. The pill is a creation of corruption, of the corrupt human heart that rebels against God's order of creation, against our very human nature to prevent the natural consequence of the marital act, and is aimed at subverting God's law, saying that that marital act is no longer something that either has natural consequences, biological consequences, i.e. the conception of human life, but because there are no consequences, why should it be confined to marriage? And so all kinds of corruption come from this disordered desire to be liberated from God's natural order. As our pastors, supreme pastors, tell us, we have to seek to apply God's principles, the spiritual truth, to our human reality so that his laws govern and not human traditions. Just another comment on a real event this past week. Some of us went down to the Monroe County Council meeting where they were going to vote on granting public funds to various community organizations, one of which was Planned Parenthood, which just the very fact of it is rather scandalous after all of the revelations that have recently come out about the true practices of Planned Parenthood, not only their selling of aborted babies and aborted baby parts, but simply the fact of their disregard for human life in the womb and the horrors that they've done since the inception of that organization. But now it's really in the public eye. And so it's rather scandalous to think that responsible or supposedly responsible leaders of our community are still wanting to give money to that organization. Their justification, as it turns out, was because it's not for abortion, it's for contraception. So once again, we see the relevance of God's law to human life and to our everyday life. As I said, it seems like our situation is beyond hope in human terms, and yet I feel that's not something that we should accept entirely. The situation is conditional still on what is in the human heart. And I just read a quote from Pope Saint Pius X that he said back in 1908. He said that the reason, basically I'm paraphrasing, that the reason things are so wrong in the world, the strength of evil, he said, lies in the weakness of Christians' convictions and commitments to living out our true faith. So, brothers and sisters, let us take to heart these words of our Lord and realize that we too have a certain responsibility in the measure that we fail to purify our hearts. If we really look within and examine our conscience, we will all find impurities that have yet to be eradicated. And that's the true work that we can do. It's not beyond our ability, it's not beyond our reach to look within our own heart and seek that perfection that our Lord desires. And if we do have this courage and this perseverance and determination to truly see ourselves as God sees us and eradicate those vices that still produce in us evil actions, then through our sanctification there will be consequences. Just like the evil that comes out of the heart produces consequences, so will the good actions inspired by a pure heart produce consequences, which will include also the conversion of others. And that's what's needed. The misguided rationalizations of our leaders for continuing evil practices, it can be changed if we can help them see the wrongness of it. And that's going to take pure hearts on our part and a lot of love and pure lives. Let us entrust this enormous problem on the global scale to the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church and of all the redeemed, and the little problem, which isn't so little, of our own personal conversion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Let us imitate or strive to imitate her Immaculate Heart so that we can truly do the good works that our Lord desires. Praise be Jesus and Mary.